Blog Talk Radio. Yes, angels are watching over you. Angels are watching over me. For the Lord has given his angels charge over each and every one of us. If you accept the Lord and Savior as your king, and he's the king of your life, there's angels that's watching over you. Glory to God. Amen. Don't that put a joy on your face, a smile on your face, joy in your heart that angels have been given charge over your life. They have been appointed to you. Yes, they have been appointed to watch over you, to take charge over you. We don't take that lightly. Amen. I want to welcome everyone to another broadcast of Kingdom Builders Development Institute, truly, truly where we are blessed to be a blessing. We want to encourage you to establish a kingdom lifestyle. When we live in the things of God and we walk in the way of his will, it's called kingdom living. Amen. Kingdom living. How many of us believe that kingdom living is the course of the day? You know, sometimes we say what we're going to have for dinner, but what we have for dinner is what we eat. Amen. We can eat spiritual food. We can eat natural food. Hallelujah. But we're talking about eating the things of the kingdom. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. I know, let me just digress for one second here. Amen. Glory to God. We're going to be talking about a kingdom lifestyle with angels watching over you. Angels watching over you. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. It is so awesome to know that God does not make mistakes. It is so awesome to know that there's nothing too hard for God. It is so awesome to know that we are already set up. Amen. Because at the end of the story, at the end of the book, the Bible says, amen. Do you know what that means? Truly, truly. Glory be to God. God is faithful. And he's always on time. You can just dial our number. Amen. Glory to God. And I'm going to lift up a word of prayer, and then I'm going to read the scripture. Hallelujah. And then we're going to go forth with the word of God. And I just thank everyone that have called in and set. You set yourself apart for the master's use. Amen. Understanding that when you put yourself in the right place, at the right time, doing the right thing, it's a win-win. Amen. It's called being in the center of the will of God. So we're going to decree and declare right now that everyone that's on this line, that you are in the center of God's will. Amen. Having heard the word of God, making better, the choices that you make. Amen. But Father, we come to you, Lord God, and we thank you because you're God and you're God all by yourself. There's nothing too hard for you. You move in such a miraculous way. You make the day turn to night, the night turn to day. You change the trees, the fall, the seasons. You're all of that, Father. So, Father, I ask you that you will open up the ear gates of your people, that every single person on this line, that they would not only hear your word, that we would all be doers of the word of God, that our life is changing as the season is changing, that we're getting closer to you and we're walking in the will that you have given us to walk in. So, Father, we thank you right now that the word will penetrate the hearts of the people and they would hear your word and keep your commandment. So, Father, I ask you to hide me behind the cross and you be the oracle, you be the vessel prophetically to your people. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Just let your spirit, allow your spirit to say amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Our scripture reading. I know my mother is trying to get on this line. So if I have any of my siblings on here, I just want to ask you if you would call and connect her in. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Father, right now we're just going to ask you if you'll get your Bibles out. And if you would turn your Bible, we're going to start with Psalms. Hallelujah. Psalms 91. Psalms 91, glory to God. I get excited because you know what? I understand that when I read the word of God, that it literally comes off the paper. And when the sound comes out of my mouth, guess what happens? I am producing what I'm saying in the atmosphere. Amen. And when I connect my faith with it, it's like watering a seed. Glory to God. So we're going to water this seed today, and we're going to bless God for him doing his miraculous work. Psalms 91, verse 11. Glory to God. For the Bible says, for he orders his angels to protect you wherever you go. Listen to this. They, so that means they is more than one, will hold you with their hand to keep you from striking your foot on a stone. Amen. And we know the word of God is blessed. We know the word of God is like none other. Glory to God. You know, if we close our life to the work of angels, I'll tell you, we miss a big part of what God want to do with us. So what are some of the biblical basis for angels? And that's what I ask myself. What are some of the things we know about them according to the scripture? Because everything that we teach and everything that we do and everything that we want to do, we want to have it biblically based. Amen. So I just want to set the stage. I want to ask you to open your minds to see what God is saying when he's talking about what is the assignment of an angel. And so I began to search the scriptures, and I found Psalms 34 and 7. And the Bible says in 34 and 7, for the angel of the Lord guard all who fear him, and he rescue them. Listen, for the angel of the Lord will guard you. And when I say fear him, I don't mean be afraid of him. I don't mean be afraid. The Bible doesn't mean be afraid. Giving reverence to God and everything that he says about what he's doing through angels. Because he knew for some reason that we were going to need some spiritual protection. So the job and the assignment of angels, they have been ordered to protect you wherever you go, wherever you go. And they, more than one, will hold you with their hands, more than one, to keep you from striking your foot against a stone. You know what happened if you strike your foot against a stone. And it made me think about one of my first pastors said to me that if someone ever mentioned an angel to me, would I believe it? And then he began to show me in the Word of God how angels was mentioned in the Bible and how important it is. And it's very important. And then I want to even go further to say extremely important that we don't ignore the fact that angels are real and that angels have been given assignments in the earth realm. They escort, they lead. Yes. Amen. Angels are mentioned based on my research. I don't believe they're mentioned 375 times in the Bible. And then not to do a comparison, but they're mentioned more than love. They're mentioned more than gospel or peace. Now, I definitely stand corrected, but based on the research I've done, 33% in the Old Testament talks about angels. And then 67% in the New Testament. God is trying to make a point about angels. So when I was questioned the other day about the biblical basis for someone told me that they talk with angels and then they said they see angels. And so, you know, I've been doing a little studying about angels to help me to understand and even to converse and talk about angels, angelic host, and how we should look for the assistance of the angelic host. So one of my friends was a little concerned about a couple of scriptures. And one of the scriptures that they were concerned about is in Galatians 1, verse 8. Amen. When the Bible talks about let God's curse fall on everyone, including myself, who preach any other message than the one we told you about. Even if an angel come from heaven and preach any other message, let him be forever cursed. And then verse 9 says, and I will say it again, if anyone preach any other gospel than the one you're welcome, let God's curse fall upon that person. That's the scripture. And then another scripture that we kind of had a little dialogue on was 2 Corinthians 11 and 14. That's 2 Corinthians 11 and 14. And the Bible says, even Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light. And verse 15 says, so it is no wonder his servant can also do it by pretending to be godly ministers. In the end, they will get every bit of punishment their wicked deeds deserve. Amen. So because you know, also you got different people that will come in and deceive the people of God as angels of light. And so we know that deception, we know that these things are real. That's why it's so important that we study to show ourselves approved, that we rightfully divide the word of God, that we don't have a zeal of God, that we have a relationship with God, so that when we get in his presence, guess what? The revelatorial knowledge of God is released upon us, and we have the wisdom and we have understanding on what God is saying in his word, that when the deceiver comes, we won't be deceived. Why? Because we've been in the presence. We are not talking about something we heard, that we're really relating to something we have experienced. So angels that come from God, he'll work through men. He'll work through women. He'll work through children. You know, he'll work through whoever he chooses to work through. And so we know that Satan emulates everything that God has done and going to do. So he used the same tactic. He used the same technique. He used the same formula. That's why we have to try the Spirit by the Spirit to know if it's God. And we can't try a spirit if we don't know the Spirit of God. Amen? If we don't know the Word of God. If we don't study the word of God, if we don't get in his presence and get a true relationship, because when we have a true relationship, we're not deceived by Satan's devices. Yes, 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 he's going to always use devices because that's all he has. Amen? It appeared to be real. He'll come in. And he will take over if we allow him to deceive us. And that's his MO. So he come in and he be deceptive where you say, oh, she's a sweetheart. Oh, he is such a child of God. Well, we have to look at the fruit that that person is bearing. What kind of tree is that? Guess what? An apple tree? You should not be able to pick bananas off of it. Amen. A pear tree popping up with tomatoes. Something's wrong with that picture. The tree should bear the fruit of its own. Amen. You come around and you find a pear tree with apples and peaches, and you look over there, and we know cucumbers don't come on a tree like that. And we find cucumbers. See, that would be very deceptive. So we definitely have to know that we sit under the word, we learn the word, and we cannot be deceived by Satan devices. Even the Bible says that even the very elect would be deceived if was at all possible. So let's talk about these angels. So I want to establish the platform that you would understand that you have angels of God and then you have the angels of the enemy. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Some of us think if you say angels that they automatically come from God. Well, we already know that everything that Satan does, it is to deceive us. Amen. To cause fear, to cause you to tremble, to cause you to think one way, and to lead you where you'll lean to your own understanding. Amen. So we want to acknowledge God in all of our ways. Hallelujah. So that he may direct our path. Amen. Sometimes God will allow us to be bold. Sometimes he will say, be docile. But we follow his command. So with the angels, how do you try the spirit by the spirit? You know, any angel that won't confess that Jesus Christ came in the flesh and is man's only hope, listen to me, of salvation is false. You can just ask that simple question. Amen. That established a great majority of the angels won't try to say that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Some of them may lie, and then you have to watch their lifestyle. But any angel that seek worship is false. Amen. We don't worship angels. See, a true angel of God will rebuke the moment that we ever try to worship them. Why? Because God said, I will not share my glory with another. Amen. So we don't worship man. We don't worship woman. We don't worship the pastors, the apostles, the prophets, the teachers. We don't worship them. We honor them. We give honor to them because honor is due. But we worship the King of Glory. Amen. The angel that came from God as a messenger, they're going to always release the word of God. They're going to always release something that you can see that is biblical based. They're going to protect you in all of your ways. And it made me think about, I was reading this book, and it made me think about the angel that came to one of the prophets, and he said that Jesus was just one in a long line of prophets, like Muhammad. They teach that. And he was the last that Muhammad, he was the last and the only, the last true prophet. You know, they'll tell you something like that. And then comparing to the angel that came to Joseph, you know, when you read the Bible, so what happened is these false religion, they have another book and they don't call it the Bible. They got a different name, a different title. And so it's to get you where you start reading their book, their leading, their way, their writing. And it'll pull you away from Jesus being the Son of God. And when the angel came, it's so funny because as you read these different books, you really have to be strong in the Lord because as you read them, they sometimes seem to make a little sense. But you keep reading and keep reading and you realize that this is all to gather you away from Jesus dying on the cross, being the Son of God, being having the resurrection power. It's going to pull you away. And so it's done through teaching. It's done through preaching. It's done through criticism. Is done through all different channels to pull you into a different mindset. So I'm going back. We're talking about angels. So you know they say to the angel of the church. So we know who the true angel of the church is. But sometimes we'll make reference to the pastor or those that are in authority over that particular house. The angel of this house. Amen. And so we don't want to be deceived and take the glory from God by giving glory to man. But they would make reference, a lot of times they make reference to the pastor being the angel of the house. And it's true to a degree. And we don't want to take away from it, but we definitely don't want to worship man. And I want to make that real plain. Because God is a jealous God. And he said in his word that we should not worship nor the God besides him. Amen. Let me give you a list of people in the Bible that angels came to and spoke to. And I want you to do your own study. And sometime, you know, it will literally surprise you. Hagar, angel came, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Lot, Moses, amen, Joshua, and then all the children of Israel. Oh, yes. Angels came in Judges chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. So the angel's going to come, and guess what? They got a message. When they come, the angel of the Lord went to different people to give a message, even to tell them if they were being disobedient, even to give them warnings, even to give them direction, even to cause them to get answers. So that's how they protect us. So we have to be able to hear what the Holy Spirit is trying to speak to us so that we don't get in harm's way. Amen. So we're talking about angels came to Mary and Joseph and Jesus and the wise man, Peter and John and Philip and on the women at the tomb. Remember Cornelius, the father of John the Baptist, Zechariah, the prophet, Elizabeth, David. See, so angels are real. They're real then and they're real now. So we're talking about the spiritual beings now. We're talking about the difference between a tangible person that preached the gospel, and so we may say the angel of the church, but then I'm talking about the spiritual entities that come straight from heaven. I'm not talking about the sent ones as a man or a woman. I'm talking about the spiritual being that come, and they may pop up, and they may talk to you. And then the next thing you know, hallelujah, they're gone. You may not even know which way they went. You may not even know where they came from. You may look and run behind them, and all of a sudden you don't see them anymore. This is a true scripture when the Lord's saying that he has given them charge over you. And can you imagine you doing whatever you want to do? Going wherever you want to go, saying whatever you want to say, and the angel's probably looking at you, looking at me, saying, oh, my God, I got to protect this one. Can you imagine the stand that angels have when they have to watch over believers that don't believe? Amen. You know, I once knew a lady that always seeing a lot of angels. And she saw so many angels that she started being concerned because she was thinking that she was losing her mind because they was always popping up and she was always hearing them and she was seeing them. Don't think it's strange when things happen. And conversation, someone come up to you and give you a message, and all of a sudden they disappear, and you may have entertained an angel unaware. So let's kind of look at some of the biblical basis for angels and what are some of the things we know about them and about, because what the scripture is saying. You know, there are a lot of them in the Bible. One of the particular ones is Revelation 5 and 11. And I hope that you make note. Because guess what? Angels are right there with you right now. Oh, yes. They watch over us. Some can see them and some can't. But in Revelation 5 and 11, it talks about 10,000 times 10,000 and 1,000 of thousands. Okay, well, 10,000 times 10,000 is a billion. So with that description, we can figure there are several billion. Yes. He said he could have asked for 12 legions of angels to come to him, to come to his aid as he desired. So let's say a legion is 6,000. And so Jesus had 72,000 angels immediately at his call. But he didn't call them. He bared the cross. Why? So that we could be free. Why are we still in bondage? When Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice, but he had angels there waiting for him to call them. They're messengers. See, the Greek word translates angel or angels simply to meaning messengers. Angels are created beings, and they were created, yes, listen, they was created before creation, before the creation of the world. I'm going to tell you how I know. That's why it's important that we study the word. That's why it's important that we open up our Bibles. That's why it's important that we note scriptures down so that we can substantiate and make it plain what the Bible is saying. In Job 38, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to please open your Bibles. Don't just go by what I'm saying. Have your Bibles out so that you can study the word. It's a blessing in just opening up the Bible. See, when you're hungry and thirsty, yes, when you're hungry, when you're truly hungry and when you're truly thirsty, you go where the water is. Open your Bibles. I'm going to read the NIV version in Job 38, 4 through 7. And the Bible says, "Where were you when I laid the earth foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? Oh, what were its footings set? And who laid a cornerstone?" Listen to this. "While the morning stars sang together, and all the angels shouted for joy." The angels are shouting for joy, for victory over your life, over your purpose, over your destiny, over what God has already preordained for your life. Upon the foundation, listen, upon the foundation, they're fastened. They were already there. The angels was established before the world was created. Okay, let's get another scripture. Amen. Let's turn to Colossians 1, verse 16. Hallelujah. Understanding that they have been given charge over you. Understanding that these angels are assigned to each and every one of us. Listen what it says in Colossians 1 and 16. "For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they are thrones or dominions and principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." So for being created invisible and visible. for everything we can't see. And sometimes God will allow us to see angels. Why? Because they're spirits. Yes, the Bible says they are spirits. And so we see the natural realm clearly. But in the spiritual realm, we have to ask God to allow us to see the spiritual realm, and he'll give it to you if you're able to handle it. I'm going to give you two scriptures, Hebrews 1 and 14. And while you're turning there, we can also read Psalms 104 and 4. I'll read Psalms 104 and 4. For the Bible says, he makes wind his messenger. The wind, the Bible says, flames of fire his servants. Isn't he awesome? Isn't he awesome that he can make the wind his messenger? He can make the flames of fire do his work, his servant. He can make fire serve him. But in Hebrews 1 and 14, I'm just trying to help you understand the magnitude of the God that we serve. We can't fathom his ability. We can just assume a measure of it based on what the scripture tells. But listen what Hebrews 1 and 14 says. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? So the angels of God, they come to minister to you. The word of God, the way of God, the will of God. The hope of your glory. Amen. And then the angels of the enemy, guess what? They come to minister too. But they're not going to minister the inheritance of your salvation. You can try the spirit by the spirit, and you can know that it's not God. See, those angels will come and tell you, oh, you hell bound. See, those angels will come and tell you, you can eat of that tree and you won't die. See, those angels will come and trick you to deceive you. Oh, jump off this cliff. You won't hurt yourself. Those angels will come and tell you that, oh, this is going to take you out. See, that's why it's important that we operate in another level of faith. See, it's a faith fight. We live and we fight in faith. Yes, we don't fight with words. We don't fight physically. We fight in the spirit realm. Why? Because it's what matters the most. Amen? See, we're like puppets on a string. And our faith pull your arm up, down, whichever way you're going to travel, your faith going to lead you there. So if you say, it shall be, and you connect it with the scriptures, guess what? It shall be. But we can't doubt in our heart and believe at the same time. It's either yes or no. It's not maybe. It's either winning or losing. It's not a draw. Amen? So their spirit. The angels are spirits. And the Bible says that God is a spirit. And the Bible says they that worship him shall worship him what? In spirit and in truth. So I like the part in spirit and in truth. So we can't worship God in error. It has to be in truth. We are subject to the power of God. So we can't trick him. We can't fool him. We can't deceive him. So when we approach him in spirit. We approach him with his word. See, we remind him of his word. Not that he had forgotten, But it's the protocol. It's what we do. See, when he hear his word, he respond to his word. When he hear the sound of his characteristics coming out of our mouth, and when we're moving by faith, guess what? Them angels get to working. Why? Because we belong to God. Amen. They are subject to Jesus. Listen, I'm talking about the angels now. They're subject to Jesus. We already established that God is a spirit, and we have to worship him in spirit. We already established that the angels are spirits. And we already established that we have to worship him in spirit and in truth. So this is a spiritual battle that we win by faith. But faith without works is dead. So we have to set everything in order. So I have faith, but I'm not working my faith. My faith won't work. And then the Bible always is also tell us that our faith won't work without love. Amen? So these components have to be essential and involved in our faith walk. Amen? So Hebrews 1, verses 4 through 6, it explains to us that they are subject, the angels are subject to Jesus. Amen? Listen to what the Bible says. So he became a much superior to the angels, as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. The Son, S-O-N, Son, is superior to the angels. And verse 5 says, for to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son? Today I have become your father. Or again, I'll be his father, or he'll be my son. Which other angels did he say that to? And again, when God, being his first born into the world, what did he say? He said, let all God's angels with an S, worship him. So the angels worship Jesus. So the angels worship God. And if you want to go into the throne room, you'll find the angels there worshiping him day and night. So if the angels are worshiping him, don't you think we ought to? How do we worship him? You know, we say we're believers, but we don't worship him like we should. See, we worship him by keeping his commandments. We worship him by doing the will of the Father. We honor him. We're subject to his name. So let me give you another component of the angels. Yes, they have power of discernment. Yes, you didn't know that, did you? That the angels have power of discernment. See, God already knew that he's going to give the angels charge over us, that he had to give them some gifts. Amen? And discernment is a gift. You know, some things we just know, but spiritual discernment is when you go into the deep area. And you can see what's going to happen before it happens. And you discern the whole plan and the plot of the enemy. I'm not deceived by Satan's device. So that's one thing that we have to understand, that Satan whole day, whole evening, whole night is fixated with deceiving the people of God. He's a liar and he's a deceiver. And that's the course of the day for him. Amen. So the doctor's report can be the course of the day of the enemy. And if we receive it in our spirit, then what we're doing, we are allowing the enemy to take precedence over our thoughts. But no. We understand that we believe the report of the Lord, and the Lord says that we shall live and not die to declare the works of the Lord. And the Bible says all of the things that's going to build you up, that's going to make you well able to take the land. Oh, yes. So it won't be, you will not fall short in any area of your life when we walk and the things of the kingdom. Amen. Let me just read 2 Samuel 14 and verse 17. And the Bible says, and thy handmaid said, the word of the Lord, the king, shall now be comfortable. For as an angel of God, so is my Lord, the king, to discern, hallelujah, good and bad. Therefore, the Lord thy God will be with thee. So the angels have discernment. Oh, yes. And they are created holy. I'm trying to let you understand, help you to understand, that what God gave you to have charge over you are mighty, valiant fighters. They're going forth on your behalf, and you don't even know it. Unseen danger. They're there. Oh, yes. And then they have the nerve to be holy when we're not holy. Amen. They were created holy. Mark 8 and 38 talks about it. You know, the Bible says, if anyone is ashamed of me and my word in this adulterated and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he come in his Father's glory. Listen what it says, with the angels. Oh, yes. So he coming back with angels. Mark 3 and 38. So the angels were created holy. You know they got to be holy if they're hanging out with Jesus, if they're hanging out with our daddy, because he's holy. And then they've been given charge over you. I just want to go there, that they have a high level of wisdom. See, all the things that we seek for, we want wisdom. We want to be holy. You know, we want discernment. We want to operate in spiritual realms, you know, the things that we desire to have. And a lot of us have embraced that God has given us everything that we need, but we have to embrace it. But they have a high level of wisdom. Hebrews, the second chapter, and verse 7. Hallelujah. Hebrews 2nd chapter, verse 7. Oh, yeah, they have their place, but guess what? They're much lower than God, but they have their place. And it says, you made him, listen to that, a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor. See, God is, letting us know, what is man that you're so mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you care for him? Tell us about this man that you gave angels charge over, this man that you made the angels holy so that they can protect him, that you crowned him with glory and honor. Do you know who you are? So we don't take nothing less than God's best. Amen. That should go on a t-shirt. We don't take nothing less than God's best. Amen. They have high wisdom. Amen. And they can have an awesome appearance. Amen. They can come with God's glory on them. They can come as a human being, because you can entertain an angel unaware. In Luke 1:11, it was several times when an angel appeared, and his first words were, the first words that the angel was saying was, "Fear not." Because, see, I mean, it seems like that maybe if they appear like they did to Elizabeth and Joseph, that the glory of God was all around them and they could see it. So they probably just fell to their knees. But they said, "Fear not." So we're not supposed to be afraid. Amen? Amen, amen. I'm telling you, I don't know if it's good to you, but it's good to me talking about that they are attentive to the Father's instruction. Oh, yes. They come on assignment. They come with a message. So if you don't recognize that these legion of angels are waiting and at your beck and call, and the Bible even talks about they have swords of fire in their hand waiting to destroy the enemy's work. Amen. Swords of fire, giant swords of fire, not a little small swords of fire. The angels are waiting to destroy every single thing that's not like God. Amen. I'm talking about the angels of the Lord, because we know that there are death angels. But the angels of the Lord with swords of fire, in Genesis it talks about these angels. In Revelation, in Hebrews, in John, you know, it go on. And in Genesis 3:24, he drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubims and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. Angels with swords of fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just know that the word of God is so blessed and it's so deep and it's so good and it's so surface. It's all of that that even a blind man can see. Amen. And in Revelation 22:14, where it talks about, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Why? Because the angels are there. That your robe has to be washed. Enter in the gates of the city. God's not playing. And neither should we be. We hear the word over and over and over. But we allow this flesh to rule. We allow the flesh to take precedence over our choices and our life. But we know that God is a spirit. And that we should tap into the spiritual realm to make decisions. It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh is no hope. The Bible tells us that at all. Amen. The word that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. John 6:63 talks about that. So all I want to say to you today is this part one of that the angels are watching over you. And they know when to come forth. They're strong. They're mighty. And we're going to talk on next week how the Bible talks about the size of the angels. How the Bible talks about how they're worshiping God. And then the part that really gets me more than anything, angels never die. Oh, they don't die. They multiply. Amen. They're watchers. They're holy ones. their host. They're the son of God. They're the son of the mighty. They're elect of God. They're ministering angels. They're messengers, angels of the church. They're guardians. They're protectors. They're warriors. It can go on and on. So guess what we're going to do? This is going to be our homework. We're going to take a day next week, and we're going to fast, and we're going to ask God to give us a deeper revelation about these angelic hosts, that we'll be able to appropriate their place in our life, and that we would know that God has set us up to be blessed, that God has set us up to win, and that we should be instructed to hear it and do only what God has called us to do. Amen. That we should be faithful to the body of Christ. If you don't have a church home, if you're not connected to anyone in the body of Christ, a minister, a pastor, get connected. Don't be in an unsafe zone. You know, be a faithful tither. Be a giver. Give love. Give of your finance. Give of your gift. Because that's what the word says. And then not only do we give, guess what we do? We forgive. Forgive those that have despitefully used you. Pray for them. Do good to them. Keep the word. So when God calls you home, see, the angels, they're going to literally escort you. Hallelujah. You're not going alone. They're going to escort you. They don't die. They're assigned to you. They're going to escort you to the pearly gates. So I want to say to you today in closing, if you have any ought in your heart, we're going to release it and let it go. Not tomorrow, not later on today. We're going to do it right now. And we're going to ask God to give us a new beginning, a fresh start. And we're going to ask him to heal our bodies, heal our minds, so that we can do the work of ministry. Amen. So many homeless people, hungry people, people locked up, people starving for the word. And we sit satisfied with the shades pulled down, our legs crossed. And we're worrying about me and mine. And God got work for us to do. So I'm asking you, get your communions ready. I'm going to do this prayer. We do communion whenever we're on the line because it gives us reestablishing ourselves with the Lord. You know, just reestablishing yourself. You get to say, Lord, forgive me. You get to forgive those that despitefully use you. And then you suck with him. Amen. You're sitting at the table and you're eating with him. Amen. You're communing with him. Amen. Hallelujah. So I pray that you have your communion. I pray that you can get you bread and get you some juice. We're going to pray over it. Hallelujah. And we're going to bless it. And we're going to break it. And we're going to thank God for the cup, and we're going to drink it, and we're going to go on about our Father's business. Amen. Amen, amen. I'll give you a moment to get your communion ready. Hallelujah. It gives you an opportunity to, he said, as much as you do it in remembrance of me. And see, all that old stuff that you may have fell short, you get a chance to start over. New mercies every day. New mercies. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So, Father, we thank you as we decree and declare right now, Lord God, that these are your people called by your name. And, Father, we ask you to allow them to not only hear the word, that everyone on the line will be doers, that we don't have a zeal of God according to knowledge, but we know you in the pardon of our sins. Amen. You pardoned us, and we receive it wholeheartedly. Father, the word said we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, but you came and you died, and you broke the curse. So we're free, and whom the Son set free is free indeed. Father, we thank you that Jesus came and he died that we might be free. He didn't stay dead, that the resurrection power of God is upon us because he released it to us in Jesus' name. So, Father, we take this bread as your body. And we know that you took the bread and you broke it. For we're broken of our ways. We're broken of our thoughts that's not like you. We're broken to be made whole. So, Father, we take this bread, we take your body, and we eat the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us eat together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. For the blood of Jesus is in this cup that's going to filtrate our bodies, going to bring health to our body, to our bones, to our muscles, to our ligaments, tendons, every organ. We drink our health in this cup. Hallelujah. It's the children's bread. Let us drink together. We bless it in Jesus' name. Drink, hallelujah, and drink all of it. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. And those that don't have it, don't cease to take time out to sit at the Lord's table. And as often as you do it, you're doing it in remembrance of the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I'm excited about what God is doing. I'm excited about our eyes being open, that we can see past surface things. Amen. Glory to God. And as we continue to go and be led by the Spirit of the Lord, we're not deceived by Satan's devices. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to do part two of Angels Watching Over Me next week. And as we go forward, we want to ask everyone on the line to keep Mother Margie Phillips, not just in your prayers, but we want you to decree some things over her. Amen. Decree everything that God says about her. Amen. That she shall preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That she shall walk in wholeness. And that God's going to do what only he can do in Jesus' name. Let us rejoice. Just rejoice. And as you leave the table, go out and tell someone about salvation. Don't just hear me. Go out and tell somebody. Win somebody to Christ. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. I just want to say thank you for tuning in. Thank you for setting yourself apart. Thank you for allowing God to use you. Thank you for all those that supported us during the conference. Thank you for those that prayed and whatever you did. We just want to say thank you today. And we want you to go in God's speed and recognize that those angels are right there with you and they're watching over you. We say God bless you from Elder QT Docs and myself and the Kingdom Builders family. We want to let you know we love you. God love you. Keep us in your prayers. We pray for you. You pray for us. And guess what? Watch what God's going to do. Have a supernatural blessed week and go with God's speed. Signing out, but never, never alone. God bless you all. Thank you for calling.